Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
Coronavirus fines.
Someone we all know got a speeding ticket over the weekend. A network did a special on Jennifer Doulos, aired last night, and a food site names the best burger in Connecticut.
Ooh.
Let's start with the coronavirus fines.
Okay.
And false positives in Connecticut.
Oof. False positives.
Governor Lamont announced additional details in the state's travel plan yesterday. There is, we already knew, a 14-day quarantine when traveling to Connecticut from impacted states.
Right.
All travelers from impacted states must complete an online travel health form. This applies to all travelers regardless of how you get here. If you fly, if you walk, crawl,
slither,
shot in by catapult,
just kind of form,
right,
beam in,
pogo stick,
rappel,
right, one of those 3D printers,
exactly, right.
Oh, right, yeah.
You email yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to do though.
That's a big. That's a big file. Yeah. I think it'll bounce back.
Got to find a scanner.
All right. So no matter how you get here, you have to fill out one of those forms. There will be spot checks conducted at Bradley Airport. Failure to comply with the quarantine or failure to complete the travel health form could result in a $1,000 fine.
All right.
Ooh.
They're looking for money, basically, yes.
Good luck, Florida.
All righty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I think we get the most from Florida, right? Of all the 19 or whatever it is now impacted states.
20-something.
We got a lot of New York also, yeah.
No, but New York's not on the list, right?
That's true.
We banded together with New York.
Right. Yep. Florida, definitely, yes. A lot of snowbirds come back.
I just think any state.
Yeah.
Right?
That was when I got over 20, I'm like, when did they just say, if you're just coming in, you got to take the test.
Right.
Right.
You got to answer these questions.
Hard if you leave track. Connecticut and you come back, you got to knock first.
Right.
Hello?
I want to come in.
What?
I want to come in.
Where you been?
Someplace.
Can you be more specific?
Someplace warm?
Does it start with an F?
You know, we're in a heat wave.
Maybe,
it's warm everywhere.
Maybe.
Are there palm trees?
Maybe.
All right. You stay right there. We'll let you in 14 days.
Okay. Do you have a magazine?
And this is creepy. There was... 90 of the 144 people tested between June 15th and July 17th received a false positive COVID-19 test report.
Oh, hell no.
How is that possible?
They screwed up.
90 of 144. That's, to me, almost all.
Yep.
Close.
Someone dropped the samples and just started shoving them in random bags.
Damn it!
Somebody licked the cell phone.
How else does that happen?
How? For God's sake, how?
So the state's in the process of reaching out to all those people. Imagine thinking that you have it. You tell everyone you
quarantined,
have it.
Quarantined, the whole embarrassment.
And it's like, hi, this is the state. You know that positive test you got? Funny thing.
Whoopsies.
I'm going to make your day.
And when I say funny, I mean...
Funny to us.
You're going to be happy.
Right. Yeah.
But also pissed.
You're going to be so relieved when I give you this news.
In an ironic way.
Let me tell you what state. You and I have a different idea on what's funny.
And hospitalizations are down.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yay.
Yes.
Keep it that way, please.
Mm-hmm. All right. Guess who got pulled over for speeding?
Who?
The University of Maine System Chancellor.
Oh. Okay.
Daniel P. Malloy. I freaking love this.
Excellent.
Now, why don't they drag him out of the car and pepper spray?
Right.
Or tase.
Right.
Or check the car for drugs.
Seriously.
Weapons.
Meth.
This guy should be arrested for assault. He assaulted everyone in the state.
How about robbery?
He was on 395 doing 85 miles per hour. In his defense, 85 on 395 is slow. People are bananas on that highway.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Most of the fatals, I think if you did a run of the numbers, 395 has to be in the lead.
Seriously, yep.
It's nuts. All right, so they pulled him over Sunday afternoon. He was pulled over by Trooper Robert Desjardins. He was 1 mile below, 1 mile above the magic 85. All right, so if he was doing 86,
yeah, mm-hmm.
He could have gotten a reckless driving charge.
Nice.
That to me says he was doing over 85 and they cut him a break.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, I got you at 89. I'm going to give you a ticket for 85 so you don't get the reckless driving charge.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
I see.
So but I guess the trooper radioed in, like, hey, what do I do? I got a former governor here.
Guess what I got?
Yeah, I wonder if it was
that. Oh, my God, guess what I got? Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, you got who?
I got Dan. Oh, my God. You got Harry Talks.
Yeah, that had to be a long time to sort that one out.
I'm surprised they didn't pull him out of the car after hearing him speak.
You know why I pulled you over?
Traveling.
Yes, traveling too fast. you're speeding. Why were you speeding? Can you give me your license? Can you give me your registration? Can you give me an insurance card?
No, nothing, huh?
Have you been drinking?
I.
You're a chancellor?
I.
What does that even mean?
I.
You ever hear a chihuahua when you step on their paw?
I.
Sorry. What's the Mexican song go?
I.
No. Yeah, okay.
That was AJ.
Thank you.
Not Chaz.
That's okay.
I.
Trying to think of something you would I with.
Right.
Sorry, that has
Mississippi. M-I-S-S.
I.
Thank you.
How you spell yai?
I.
Who screwed this state up?
I.
I knew it was coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, good for him.
Yep.
Well, he got a ticket. Do you have a feeling that he's not even going to have to go in?
Yes.
Of course he's not.
No.
No way.
That he won't even have to hire a lawyer?
Nope.
That ticket's just going to go away?
No. No special treatment.
I feel like he still knows enough people in the
field.
Right.
He appointed these judges.
Exactly.
For shame.
Yeah. I'm just happy he got pulled over.
Mace is a chancellor of a school.
You know, there's that moment where it just sets in. You're sitting on the side of the highway. Yeah, just think about it. He used to be in an SUV with a number of state police as protection, driver, assistant, public relations person.
Food taster.
He had a bigger entourage than a president.
He did. He really did.
And then here he goes down the highway. I wonder if... But he has to be the driver if he got the ticket, right?
I'm assuming, so
he's driving himself, then he gets pulled over, and he's on the side of the road, and he has to go through that same thing, the shame when you're on the side of the road, and the lights are going, and every driver's driving by looking like,
I know that guy.
Yeah.
Right. I know that guy.
But it's not me.
Yep.
All right, we got to follow that one, see how he makes out with the ticket. Anybody watch the Dateline NBC special last night, the day Jennifer disappeared? The Jennifer Doulos story?
I watched a little synopsis they had, like a five-minute breakdown.
Anything in there that was interesting? Because I tried to watch it. It came on at 10. It was an hour long. I got to 10:15, and I thought, I've seen all of these interviews already.
Yeah.
Nothing new.
The only thing that I did not know about was the fact that they mentioned she was bludgeoned. She fell between the two vehicles, and there was blood on the underside and the drive shaft of one of the cars.
Yeah.
Indicating violence.
I didn't know
about that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
But there wasn't a lot of blood. It was just like a lot of... You know, just little drops everywhere.
And apparently, it wasn't just rags. They also used mops, too, to clean up.
Right.
So those two things I didn't know about.
That I already knew.
Yeah,
but they teased the beginning, you know, like they always do, new information.
Yeah.
And when I get 15 minutes in and I'm hearing nothing but old information,
Lights out?
Yeah. Right,
it's 10:15. I got to go to bed.
Exactly right.
At 10:59, they were going to give you the new information. Yeah.
Exactly.
The 30 seconds
and I knew
that,
and I knew it was going to be information that makes me want to punch a wall.
Yep.
Like, you made me wait an hour for that.
Come on.
We're going to play just a random part of the special here, see what comes up.
When Jennifer's friend, Ronna Marie Giuliano, heard what was happening, she had trouble coming up with a harmless explanation.
One thing about Jennifer is you don't go without your children. She would never leave her children. But
that's
the part of the story
that made no sense.
Exactly.
It didn't make sense to the New Canaan police either. After the call came in from Jennifer's worried friends, officers fanned out.
Wait, so one of the questions that was the only part of the story that didn't make sense? The part where she had a doctor's appointment in New York and didn't show up for that? That didn't make sense?
Right.
The part where a woman just disappears?
Right.
The blood part? Right.
Right. That makes no sense?
But she never lived with children.
Okay.
That makes sense.
All right. Just wondering.
First Suburban. She takes the kids to school there.
Sure.
What happened to it? It wasn't at the house.
We located that near one of our parks, Waverney Park, and it was parked on the side
of
the
road. Wow, thanks, because we didn't know any of this. It's been over a year. Holy crap.
Right.
You mean the SUV was at a park? Wow.
The hell you say?
Jesus.
Yeah. You did the right thing going to sleep.
You know, you should expect that, you know, stupid me, you should expect this from a network in July.
Right.
When they're not in ratings, everyone's on vacation, right?
They've been talking about the same thing for 4 months.
Let's grab some. Like, they're not going to do breaking news if they're not in ratings.
Exactly, right?
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what do we do? I don't know. Coronavirus, been done.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm tired of that.
Grab some old footage. Everyone's on vacation.
Right.
Just grab some old footage from that Jennifer Dulos thing and put it together. Make it seem new. Fresh.
Right.
Snappy.
Find one snippet, 30 seconds at the end, there's all new stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Here, a little bit more.
Tell you a story, just it being there?
It was unusual, and certainly that caused us to search the park there.
Big place, a lot of acreage?
About 300-acre park, beautiful.
Who's playing the music? Trails. The chief?
Yep. There's a mansion there.
A lot of places.
It's a Hammond organ.
Police chief's at the organ.
To look, and that involved multiple canine teams.
It was an exhaustive search, but no sign of Jennifer. There were also no security cameras in the park to check.
Def Leppard doing this
part. So police canvassed joggers, motorists, young moms with kids in tow to see if they'd seen Jennifer or anything unusual.
This is a nothing sandwich.
Yep.
Coronavirus fines?
Fine.
Governor Malloy yesterday said the mandatory 14-day quarantine when traveling to Connecticut from impacted states will be enforced. All travelers from impacted states must complete an online travel health form. This applies to all travelers regardless of how you get here.
Mm-hmm.
Walk, run,
hot air balloon,
catapult,
hop.
Oh, I love catapult.
Dropped from the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm. Which would
be a trick because there is no space shuttle.
Right.
There will be spot checks at Bradley Airport. Failure to comply with the quarantine or failure to complete the travel health form could result in a $1,000 fine.
Money. That's looking for your money.
And the other part of this coronavirus story in Connecticut today is that 90 of 144 people tested during June 15th to July 17th.
It's a lot of people.
Received a false positive COVID-19 test report. So
they're going to be so relieved when they find out they didn't have it.
Yeah.
But probably,
well, great, because I've been out of work since then.
Right.
Right. Probably angry for the inconvenience.
I've got good news and I've got bad news for you. I'll start with the bad news first. The bad news is that you never had the virus. The good news is you're good.
Never had the virus.
Exactly. They're both the same. Isn't that wonderful? Hello?
I still want to know what happened. How? How did that happen?
How?
How?
All right, did anyone see the Dateline NBC special last night on Jennifer Dulos? It was the day Jennifer disappeared.
So the synopsis thing, yes.
I was going to watch it. I sucked Matt Maddox into watching it.
Uh-oh.
And then about 15 minutes before it started, I texted him and said, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Right. He said, me too.
I said, I feel bad. If you're tired, don't worry about it. He said, no, I'm fine. I'll watch it.
Right.
I got 15 minutes in, and I didn't see anything new. How did it go? Matt Maddox, attorney with the Maddox Law Firm on.
Yeah, well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, you definitely, you had to hang in there. You had to hang in there until Clever NBC, of course, you know, the networks always save the good stuff to the last. So you had to go through all of the repeat information until you got to the end. And then we had some interesting dialogue between, Dennis Murphy and Rich Colangelo toward the end about, you know, particularly about, for instance, the zip ties. Have you read about this morning yet? You know, the zip ties themselves that were found cut and they were retrieved from trash or from wherever these things were disposed on New Albany Avenue in Hartford, those were taken out and tested, and these severed zip ties were found to have Jennifer's blood and DNA on them, which is pretty pretty cold and stark evidence, I think. And then Attorney Colangelo was also speaking about the back of the Suburban, the fact that this mat was taken out of the Suburban and disposed also in Hartford. You know, this is some new stuff that we hadn't heard about previously.
I haven't heard that stuff. So do you think that the state had enough evidence if Fotis didn't kill himself to convict him?
I think they could have met their burden of proof. It's never easy without a body. But I think that Attorney Colangelo bided his time. I think he waited until he had every bit that he could to put into a warrant. I think they had. I think they had a. You know, the bunch of us have spoken about the chain of evidence and circumstantial evidence in this case. I think the chain was secure enough that they could have proven their case.
But if you're a defense attorney, how would you spin, you know, them finding the severed ties?
You don't have to spin that, right?
Well, how would you defend it? Yeah, exactly.
Well, you defend it in the same way that you defend every other aspect of a circumstantial case, that you take each bit, each scrap that they throw up on the wall in front of a jury, and you keep on harping about the fact that there's no direct connection between that and a body, that there's no body, that there is no, there's no corpse. I'm sorry to sound so clinical, but you keep on coming back to the fact that no matter what the state says, no matter what zip ties, no matter the blouse, no matter the bra, no matter everything that they have, there's nothing that directly ties my client to a death here. And it becomes a mantra.
Yeah.
Right. And you just keep saying that over and over and over.
Right. Show down.
Right.
Was there enough blood evidence to suggest that she died?
So that's a great question. I don't believe that there was. So I think what we were talking about for a while was, look, if you can't find the body, can you find enough forensic evidence that so much blood was lost that the human being that the blood came from could not have survived? And that certainly isn't in the warrant. That certainly hasn't been described by Attorney Colangelo or anyone else or any of the state police in this case.
And the fact that they haven't
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. The other fragment that came out last night was from one of the state trooper, one of the state police detectives. Another kind of grisly detail was blood splatter in the garage at Jennifer Dulos' house was actually underneath a vehicle. It actually had splattered up underneath the, I think they said, the transmission or, you know, the undercarriage of the car. Grisly, disturbing evidence to hear that there was enough of a struggle, enough of whatever happened to somebody in that garage, that blood had enough force behind it to splatter up underneath the vehicle.
Yeah, the undercarriage, the drive shaft, he said, yeah.
Right, exactly. It's grisly stuff.
Yep.
They have enough footage from various cameras to really basically show Fotis leaving.
Yeah.
Farmington, making his way to New Canaan.
Right.
And then making his way back. And they had footage of the vehicle, his employee's vehicle, at a car wash.
Yeah, right? Exactly right, yeah.
And then he's dumping bags. So, I mean, it would be a compelling case, right, either way?
It's a tremendously compelling case. especially tried any. I mean, I think anywhere in Connecticut, it's a compelling case. Hard to find a jury, and this is a separate topic. Hard to find a jury and seat a jury that can put aside all the media coverage and view the case only on the evidence that's produced. But that's, look, Fotis Doulos is dead. I wonder, you know, how the case goes in. Are there objections by Mawhinney's lawyer and by Tricornis' lawyer that would have normally been uttered by the defense counsel for Fotis Doulos? How much easier is it? And I think it is much easier for a judge to overrule those objections in the absence of Fotis Doulos and counsel for Fotis Doulos. So I think the trial is easier for the state without Doulos around.
If Tricornis had any information that would make it easier on her, she would have gave it up already, right?
How could she not, right, gentlemen? How could she not at this point have given up something material? And remember, we spoke about this also, though, that the policy in the state of Connecticut is, amongst all state attorneys, they don't make deals in advance, right? Because deals have to be disclosed to the defense before trial. So they don't make deals in advance. However, you would think by now there would be some type of disclosure, some
revelation.
Wait,
what type do you mean they
revelation.
Don't make deals in advance?
They don't make the deals in advance. They used to years ago, really, across the country. The policy in Connecticut is because the law compels the disclosure of those deals so that the defense can cross-examine your witness. So if you have a cooperating co-defendant, right, what better ground for cross-examination and to explore the bias of that co-defendant than to make sure the jury knows they've got reason to lie because they've got a deal that's been made.
Right.
So the state doesn't do that here.
But now it would be okay because Fotis is dead, right?
Maybe it's waiting for a really good deal, like waiting for a certain type of deal.
Correct. Exactly. Specific terms.
Interesting.
She has
then
to know
open her
more
mouth. Exactly, right.
Then she's letting
this
on.
Is what I want in addition for me to open my mouth.
Well, if she knows more, everybody or surrounding her, including state attorneys, including state police, including detectives, have been remarkably silent, particularly given what were a lot of leaks and disclosures in 2019, right? I mean, there were a lot of loose lips in 2019 about this case. So if she's made some type of disclosure or revelation, suddenly they've closed ranks and become very expert at being quiet.
Huh.
Is it possible she just hasn't come forward yet with the info she has?
I suppose it's
how
possible.
Does that go?
Look,
right,
she's had two.
It's too long.
She's had two really, really good lawyers.
First of all, no one wants to spend a day in jail.
No.
So as
right.
soon as you get in there, your attorney's going to say, "What do you know? What you know?"
Right. Can help
how can you help us here?
Leverage this.
How can you help us here?
Right.
Yeah, I need your help here.
That's exactly right. So if she's made the disclosure, then, you know, good for her and good for the state for being quiet about it.
But wouldn't they have, so they wouldn't let her out now? If she said, well, I know where.
Well, she
clearly doesn't know where Jennifer is, or that would have been, we would all know.
Yeah, they're not. But see, they're not going to telegraph anything. So she's on electronic monitoring. There's been a motion to remove the electronic monitoring. That was denied. The state's not going to if she is cooperating and they're really doing this in a skillful and quiet way, the state isn't going to telegraph that in any way, any possibility of appearing to treat her deferentially.
Really? So she would go to trial. You wouldn't know that she made a deal. You wouldn't know the whole time.
No, literally, look, if it's done correctly, there is no deal at all. There is just okay, you know something, let's see you actually go on stage and speak to the jury, and then we'll let you know what happens with you.
Wow.
You're going to audition.
I always thought it was she gets arrested, lawyer has a meeting with her. Lawyer has a meeting with the prosecutor, says, we might be able to help you with this, we might be able to help you with that. What do you got?
Right. Exchange
well, she can go to jail for 70 years, but if she really does have that information, she'll go for 20. How about 15?
Exactly.
Really? It doesn't work like that.
You know, it always used to work that way, and it isn't too far in the past that it used to work that way.
Wow.
But as I said, the policy across the state now is not to enter into those specific type of terms with a witness or a co-defendant that turns into a state's witness.
Huh. Then what's the point of being honest?
The point of being honest is you trust your lawyer and you trust the process, and you have these conversations with the prosecutor in charge of your case, and your lawyer says, look, this is the right thing to do. This is the right choice. This is the best path for you. And after trial, you're going to have to just steel yourself and understand that terms will be met after trial. And that's you've got to trust your lawyer.
That's not motivation to give up information.
No, screw that.
Yeah.
What a deal.
It's not terribly inspiring.
No, you're putting yourself out there.
Right. Yep.
You're giving them all of the information and getting nothing in response. Like it's unbelievable to me. When did this process change? Like when did it become where it wasn't done before the trial began?
It's probably, I would say, in no more than the last 5 years, maybe even 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. The TV show's been lying.
Well, I know my whole.
And this is Connecticut. You know, you can represent somebody in federal court in Connecticut, and you go into a proffer, and you go into a full cooperation agreement, and the cooperation agreement is in writing and it's signed and it is submitted to your sentencing judge. Everything on the federal level in Connecticut, no matter how serious the offense, the cooperation, it's all transparent, it's all disclosed, and deals are made all the time at federal prosecutions.
Hmm. Holy crap.
Look at
that. I learned more here than I did on the Dateline NBC special.
See that? And you guys sleep too, Chaz.
Matt, thanks for coming on.
He got extra sleep, right?
That's right.
Exactly right. Yeah. The bonus.
Thanks for watching that for us. We appreciate it. Allie with the Richfield Playhouse has an announcement.
I do have an announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I guess it's an announcement. I mean, we're very excited because, you know, we haven't really done a live show in a while. But we're doing one this weekend, so we're very excited about that.
Nice.
We have live comedy, and we have live music, and it's going to be great. We're going to do it outside because right now inside we can only have up to 50 people still. And we're hoping that changes once they do phase three. We're hoping that they do 50% capacity at phase three. But my understanding is that for some reason it may go up to like 100 people, which makes no sense whatsoever. But that's a whole other discussion, isn't it?
Right.
But anyway, so we're going to do it outside. We're getting a tent. You know, we do Shakespeare on the Green usually outside this time of year, and we can't do that because the Actors' Equity won't allow actors to perform until 2021.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's why Broadway shut down. That's why you're not going to see any Equity theaters opening. But so we decided, you know what, let's do the tent anyway. We'll set up the seating the way we would, and we'll do it for a live performance. So we're still going to socially distance everyone, every 3 seats for grouping. So if you're a group of 2 or a group of 5, then 3 seats before the next group. But it allows us to do something, right? So we had Jeremiah Lloyd Harmon booked already for the Playhouse.
Who is that?
So he's an American Idol guy. He's really good, actually. He's singer-songwriter, awesome, made it to the finals of American Idol. Good friends of ours and friends of the Playhouse. Do you know the actor Tony Goldwyn?
No. Mm. Heard the name.
Yeah, he was in Ghost.
Did you really?
Yeah. He was the guy who was responsible for Sam Weekend killed in Ghost, right?
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I've seen him in like a million things.
Oh, Carl! Exactly. He was just on Broadway in, what was it called? Not Broadcast. What was the name of it? Network. He was amazing. He did the Broadway show Network. It was awesome. But anyway, he lives in Wilton, and he became a huge fan of this guy. And so they kind of underwrote the show, and him and his wife Jane Muskie, who's an Academy Award-winning set designer.
What do you mean underwrote the show? Like wrote a check?
Yeah, like they're helping to bring Jeremiah to the Playhouse.
Oh, cool!
Wow.
All right, let's hear Jeremiah. Hold on.
Angel in the window on a West Virginia church door swinging open, and he's pointing to the exit sign.
Not my cup of tea.
Yeah. Reading directions? So, escape directions? If you're choking, hold your hands to your neck if you're choking.
He's very singer-songwriter. Right. He's got an amazing, amazing voice. You know, it'll be
good.
He
sounds like he would be on a channel where they play Mark Cohen.
Maybe. But we do well with Mark
You know
Cohen,
who that is?
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Walking
Cohen's
in favorite. Memphis.
Oh. Yeah.
Silver Thunderbird.
Right.
Yeah.
And Christine O'Leary is opening for him. We're going to do a little comedy beforehand. So
she's
be a night
she's
of music
worth the trip right there.
Yeah.
So that's this Saturday.
That's this Saturday at the Playhouse, but it's right outside of the Playhouse.
Like parking lot.
Next to the parking lot. So next to the parking lot, there's that big ball field.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's where we're going to put the tent and the chairs.
Awesome. Nice.
And how many people can you have? 100?
No. So outside, you can have up to 500 people.
Really?
But we're doing...
That seems...
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
Okay.
It's 100 people. It was 100 people. And then on July 3rd, they changed it to for fireworks and outdoor concerts, 500. 1,000% positive. Checked it with Tommy Hyde, the guy who makes the decisions on this stuff.
Okay, just check him.
Seems like a lot of people.
Right.
I would never count on myself for accurate information, so I'm going to go with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. No, I have it in writing. It's
I have no
good.
Idea.
I
yeah.
thought
they
it was 100.
July 3rd, they changed fireworks and outdoor concerts to 500.
Look at that.
And then phase three, they were supposed to up it again to possibly unlimited, but they haven't for outdoor. But they haven't, they didn't decide that. And, of course, they pushed back phase three altogether.
Unlimited. I haven't heard that once.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be something they were talking about for phase three. But, you know, again, this is all socially distanced, right? So although we can do up to 500, we're only doing seating for 400. And you are probably only going to be, with socially distanced, we're probably only going to get about, you know, 300 under the tent, which is fine. I mean, to be honest, 300 people aren't really coming out all that much just yet.
It seems like a lot of people.
Yeah, like, everybody's socially distanced. They wear their masks. You're outside.
I think all that is fine. I just thought the whole deal was you could have 100 people outside.
No. So there's a difference between a private event and a public event. So
okay.
If you're having a wedding, you can have up to 100 people outside.
That's a good distinction.
Got
okay.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. If you go there, they have all these, like, designations, and you have to kind of understand. You gotta.
Okay.
Yeah, the wording is
that
a
tricky.
Confusing, but that's
this
what
makes
it
more
is.
Sense.
And inside for private.
So I was gonna say,
like, Ellen,
what you'll have to do is just say, "No, I'm sorry. This is five different events. We have a comedian. We have a music
right, artist. Right. We have a food event, drinking event, and the bathroom
right.
event.
That's
yes.
right.
Yeah.
We have five different events going on here.
Right, that bathroom one's tough.
Well, but the truth is that people are. You know, you have some people that are. Just excited to be outside and hearing music and,
definitely.
You know, seeing other people. And then you have other people that aren't quite comfortable with it yet. So, you know, the whole reason that we even started doing movies in the first place wasn't because we thought, because movies, by the way, tell me how much sense this makes, is half capacity. So I can have 250 people inside to see a movie, but I can only have 50 people inside to see a comedian.
That is weird.
Yeah, but it is what it is. I'm just sort of dealing with everything, and as it changes, kind
making
of.
Making it work, yeah.
Yeah, just plowing through.
Here's the thing. Our numbers are so low, you can't really bitch that much, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's
so,
been working.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But we're doing the movies. Half capacity for us is 250 people, but the reality of it is we get maybe 50 people.
Right.
You know, because you have to deal with what people's not everybody's that comfortable going out. Same thing with the restaurants.
Yeah.
They're open. They're not full yet with whatever their capacity can be.
So I've been doing outside dining, and Saturday night was the first time I did indoor dining. And they had it so down that I felt completely comfortable.
Good.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. When they seem like they're on top of it and they've got it like it's second nature to them, that's when you really feel comfortable.
And you'll go
yeah.
back again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing.
Right.
That's exactly what we're doing. That's why I'm doing the movies, because I want people to start to feel comfortable coming out again, sitting in a theater.
Getting used to it.
And then when
it.
We can be open, they'll have been there already.
Right.
It's Allie with the Ridgefield Playhouse this Saturday. Music, comedy, and what else? Music and comedy.
Music and comedy, and then we have some live events that we just booked for the end of August. That's
that sounds,
Javier Colon.
That sounds optimistic.
Well, also outside.
Out. Right, gotcha.
Yeah. So we're doing two more concerts outside at the end of, you know, in a month from now with Javier Colon.
That's American Idol too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Nick Fradiani. And, well, actually, American Javier Idol was The Voice.
The Voice.
Yeah, he was the first winner on The Voice.
Gotcha.
Right. And he's a Connecticut guy.
Yeah, he's been in studio with
us. Yep.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
And then Nick, right? We all
know
Nick.
And we're doing Nick Fradiani and Alternate Roots.
That's
the
American Idol.
All Connecticut people. But high-profile Connecticut people so that they don't have to travel. Because that's the other thing, getting musicians to come out that have to travel is a whole other deal.
Yeah.
Let's bring on the East Haven fire chief right now, Matt Marcarelli. He has an amazing story of a rescue this weekend at an East Haven beach. How are you?
Good. How you doing, fellas?
Hello.
Good. What happened?
Well, we received a call for a drowning. And fire department responded to the location where it was at 63 Morgan Avenue. And once our crews got there, they found a gentleman who had already been pulled by the water by a 14-year-old who was swimming with his family, and found the man unconscious in the water, dragged him to shore.
He was unconscious.
In the water.
Just kind of
in
floating.
In the water.
Yeah.
So floating or...
The report that we got was that he was in the water. It sounds like he was closer to shore, so there wasn't a great deal of swimming involved. But he was face down in the water, bubbling. So he certainly would have drowned if no one took action.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
The young man was summoned by a family member to go check on the individual in the water. He went out there and certainly tried to arouse the individual who was unconscious. He flipped him over to, you know, clear his airway from water and dragged him to shore. And shortly thereafter, the paramedics arrived from the fire department, and they began resuscitative measures. And through the efforts of the young man and the fire department personnel, we had a successful outcome.
Holy crap. That's amazing.
She's alive. Yeah. Good.
Ashley, didn't you see this happening?
I did.
She
I was down the beach. I didn't realize there was an issue until they were pulling him from the water, and I saw him laying on his back on the sand. I actually saw the fire department respond, I want to say 6-8 guys. The word on the beach at that point was he might have had a heart attack in the water while he was swimming.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's true or not, but we saw a group of people standing around him, and we saw the ambulance back down on the beach as far as it could go.
That's scary.
And they saw him carry him out. Yeah, they were working on him for quite a while.
Holy crap.
But they revived him. That's cool.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great outcome. It's nice to see someone from the community getting involved, and our EMS system really relies upon community engagement. So in order for everything to work perfectly, we rely on the citizens to rapidly activate the EMS system, provide any first aid if they can until the arrival of the EMS personnel. So kind of worked out perfectly.
That 14-year-old should get some kind of a certificate or something, right?
Yeah, so Monday night, the 27th, at 6:30 at the East Haven Senior Center. We have our commissioners meeting at 7:30, but prior to that, we're going to provide him with a certificate for a civilian life-saving award.
That's great.
And he's also going to be getting a proclamation from the mayor's office.
Does that come with any money?
No.
How about some scratch-off tickets?
Well, if you're hawking.
I may be able to slip a scratch-off ticket in there, but his parents would have to claim the prize.
This is true, right? But he can scratch it, though. So.
I liked his quote. He was like, it was just, it was really nothing.
I talked to him on the phone yesterday. He seems like a very impressive young man.
Yeah.
He's going to Notre Dame this year. So, his family's in, his mother's an advanced licensed practical nurse. So she's got some experience in the healthcare field. But,
luckily, she wasn't there.
She was, but,
I'm surprised she didn't get involved.
Wait a minute. Wait, right away.
You're doing it wrong, Johnny. Stop. Yeah. Grab on this.
Mom, knock it off.
I'm saving someone.
Mom,
let me do it.
My friends are watching.
Apparently, the East Haven Beach was a good place to drown this weekend because there was a bunch of EMTs on the beach as well, a state trooper. And so if anything bad was going to happen, probably that day was a good time to happen.
Holy cow.
So that was this Saturday.
And of all
Saturday.
Those people, a young man like that is the one that affects the rescue. You so it's what? Pretty impressive.
You know what's funny? I was at a chicken roast at a fire department on Long Island, and the whole place is full of firefighters, EMTs, cops.
Yeah.
At my table, a friend of mine swallows chicken, Bobby the Mailman's wife, Nina, gets caught in her throat, and she starts pointing like,
oh, no.
Help.
Someone at our table grabs her, Heimlich, and then they all come over.
Right.
After the chicken's out.
In their defense, they were drinking all day.
They were busy doing stuff.
Yes, exactly right. Well, they were off duty.
It's funny. It was the civilian who did the save.
Right. And he said,
good job. A couple of them were pissed. Like, damn it.
Right.
I was right here.
I was at the keg.
Damn it.
Well, they were off duty.
Yeah.
You know, in defense of them. So.
Right. They were entitled to a couple of
off duty.
Yes.
Don't choke on my time. Right. This is my time.
Right. Choke on my time. Not my time.
Well, nice job to you guys, East Haven Fire Department. Guys and girls, thank you, Chief.
Okay. Anytime.
All right.
Thank you.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.